And we're holding the Chaplain Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, continuing to talk about the Shtei Lechem and the two Brosim that go on with it, that go together with them. So far, we've established that you have a point at which they're trying. We had a Mishnah, a Machlokas, whether it's possible to bring one without the other. According to Rabbi Akiva, you can bring only the Shtei Lechem without the Brosim, according to Ben Manas, the other way around. You can bring Brosim without the Lechem. We talked about the reasons why, if the Shtei Lechem is brought by itself, according to Rabbi Akiva, why they wouldn't be eaten. And we established that definitely when the kvasim are shechted, then it makes them tied together, such that if afterwards the kvasim are lost, then you can't eat the lechem, and vice versa. And we discussed whether that also applies once they're waved together. So now let's talk about a different angle. Before, we were talking about zika, about what creates the connection between the kvasim and the lechem, such that if one of them is gone, the other one is a goner too. But now let's talk about what is needed in order to make the Shtei Lechem mutter to eat. Oh, well, first, two things, actually. What's going to make them mutter to eat? But actually, we're going to focus more first on what's going to make them that now they have the full kedusha of the korban, in the sense that now we can't be koyd to them, because you have psulam of kedusha, korbanos that become possible. You can redeem them, but only animals. Based on the fact that Sukkim in Parashat Bechukos, first I talk about standing up the animal in front of the Kohen and having them evaluate its value. So we learn from that it applies only to animals, not to inanimate objects such as the Shtei Lechem. So there would come a point from when you will makdish the wheat, I mean the wheat to begin with belonged to Hekdish, and you bake the Shtei Lechem. At that point, they have a degree of kedusha, but they don't have this full kedusha. To the extent where you can't be koyd to them. So now we have to figure out at what point does that happen. So Tana Rabbanan, Rashi in various places points out those other things as well. There's also, would you be able now to switch them to a different korban? Suppose now that the Shtei Kerosim became, that the two sheep became fossil, at what point do we say that the Shtei Lechem are stuck with these sheep, and if the sheep are fossil, automatically the Shtei Lechem are as well? And also, for example, at what point, if you take the Shtei Lechem out of the Azara, will they be fossil, and so on and so on. So the Gemara says, turn it up. It says, Saras en mekadshin es Lechem ela b'shtipu. The two tvasim make the Shtei Lechem have this full kedushah gof only when they're shechted. Kate said, what does this mean? Shochtan l'shmon. He shechted the two sheep, having in mind for the proper purpose, Shalmei Tzibur, the Zorach Domon l'shmon, and he did the Zrika also l'shmon, Kodesh Allah, and then the bread becomes holy, and now it has its full kedushah. So now, first of all, the Kohenim will be able to eat it, but also now it can't be changed to a different carbon, or also become possible to be taken out, etc. First was actually talked about earlier, the question of whether you can switch it to a different carbon. If the kvasim afterwards become possible, can you switch the Shtei Lechem to them? That's actually subject to the machlokas that's not going to depend on machlokas Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon that we're going to learn about. So, rather, that's a different thing. Kodesh Alecha means that if it's taken out of the Azorah at that point, or if something else happens, is it going to be fossil or not? On the other hand, the Braith says, Shochtan Shalor Lashman, if he shechted the Shnei Kvasim, not Lashman, as having in mind it's a different carbon, the Zorak Domin Shalor Lashman, and you did the Zrika, also Shalai Lashmah, Loi Kodesh Alechem, then the bread does not become holy. Meaning, in other words, at this point, the bread still only has Kedushas Domin. It just has its monetary value is Kodesh. But that still means, first of all, it means if you take it out of the Azara, then it won't become possible. Kodesh Vedek Abayis, because it has Kedushas Domin, there's no problem taking out the Azara. But also, it would mean that you could switch them to a different korban, because in this case, these korbanos were shechted shelo lishman. Fine, switch them to a different korban. It also means that if they themselves become tamei or otherwise possible, then you can be poyed to them, because as long as they have only kedushas gamin, then you can be poyed to them. You pay hektish their value, and now they become holy. What happens? Shechted lishman bezarach dam shelo lishman. What happens? You shechted them lishman, but you get the zrika shelo lishman. Alechem kodesh ve'ene kodesh divi red. Well, then Rebbe says the bread is going to be holy, but not holy. Meaning, we'll explain soon what Rebbe means by that. Rav Elazar ben Shimon says, no, it's not going to have the kedusha saguf unless both the shechita and the zrika were done l'shman. And therefore, according to him, this case that we just said, where the shechita was done l'shma, but the zrika was not, then Rav Elazar ben Shimon says, no problem, the bread does not yet have kedusha. That means the kohenim can't eat it, but it does mean that you can be poured it, and it means all the other rules that we just said. Okay, so the Gemara says, my time is the Rebbe. Why does Rebbe hold that it's Kodesh and it's Kodesh? And what does he mean by that? So, because the Pasuk says, in connection with a Nazir's Korban. As we learned yesterday, a Nazir's Korban goes together with 20 loaves of bread. We're going to talk about that in more detail later in the Masechta. And the Pasuk says, and it says, Zevach Shlomim Latim. He should bring the ram as a Shlomim, as a Korban of Shlomim for Hashem, Al Sal HaMatzis. On or with the basket of matzahs. So that means, now the word zevach means shechting. Therefore, that means, remember, that tells us the shechita makadsha, that it's the shechita of the korban that makes them holy. So, and the same way as it is by the ram and the nazir, so it is over here by these shamay tzidim. First, this discusses exactly how the limud works. Is it because of a hekesh? Then you would end up having a double hekesh, and you can't do that. So Tosfos discusses how exactly the limud works. But in any case, the point is that Rebbe says that the shechting of the korban, whenever a korban is accompanied by bread, then the shechting of the korban accomplishes that, creates that kedusha in the bread. Well, therefore, it doesn't matter what happened with the zrika. Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon answers to that. But the pasuk says that's our yasa. The word yasa means anshi yasa kolas yosef. Only he becomes holy only after he does all the things that have to be done, including the zrika. Now, once the zrika is done, fine. Everything else that happens after that, as we've learned many times, is not ma'akev. You don't burn the emurim, you don't do the whatever. Fine. The korban at that point has been his kosher, and the person was yotze. But at least you have to do the zrika. Therefore, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon says from the word yasa, we see that only after the zrika is done, and the korban was still kosher, it was still l'shmoy, only then can we talk about that the bread becomes holy. Okay, the question is, Rebbe Nami Haksiv Yasa. Well, what is Rebbe doing with that word Yasa? According to him, it also says, so what does he do with it? And the answer is, he says, you're not learning from the word Yasa that it means all the Asiyas, all the doings. Ik Siv Zevach Yasa. If the Pasuk can phrase it, the shechting he should do, then that would mean that you have the shechting, and then there needs to be another yasa, another doing, so then Kid Ka'amrith, then it would be like you say, the laws of Reb Shimon, that the word yasa would refer to the zrika. Yasa zevach, but instead now, the Pasuk says yasa before zevach. That just means, v'amer yasa, how does he do it? How does he accomplish it? Where now has full completion and growth? Zrika, with the shechting. So now he's still going to say it's kaddish, but in a kaddish, meaning in other words that it has kedusha and growth, but you can't eat it because the korban that it went with was one of its primary avodas. In this case, the zrika was done shalo l'shma. Which we're going to talk in a few lines. What Rebbe means exactly by kaddish and a kaddish, but in any case, that's what Rebbe learns from. I agree. It says yasa. That's fine. The yasa just means everything has to be done in order for the bread to be able to be eaten. But nevertheless, the fact that it says yasa and then zevach means we're not talking about an asiyah after the zevach, like Rebbe Elazar ben Shimon says, but rather we're talking about that the yasa itself is accomplished by the zvicha, by the shvicha. Well, over Rav Elazar ben Shimon, zevach. According to Rav Elazar ben Shimon, what is he? The fact is, the pasuk says the word zevach, which refers to shechita. So according to him, why does he say that it's not just the shechita that it means the other avodas too, all the way up to and including zvika? The answer is, how can we borrow the chiddush of Yechon? He uses that to teach us what Rabbi Yechon says. Everybody agrees that the bread does have to exist at the time of the shechita. And if not, then the zrika is not going to help for it. Now, that includes the bread actually has to have been made. We're going to learn later in the chapter. It has to be that it's been baked to the point that it can be considered bread. It may still be in the oven. It may still be baking, but it has to at least have formed a crust in order to be considered bread. So we learn that from the fact that the Pasuk is saying that Yasa is Zevach, and it says Al Salamatzis, so that means at the time of the Zevach, at the time of the Shechita, it has to be bread. But nevertheless, Rav Elazar ben Shimon can still say that you still have a little leeway when it's already bred, but it doesn't yet get your shtetl until the zrika of the korban is completed and it was all done, and it was all done with shmoy and with all the other rules. Okay. Fine. The Gemara says, my kodesh or ain't a kodesh. When Rebbe says that the... Tosfos actually points out, I mean, the fact is we do have, at least when it comes to the Shtei Alechem, you have the waving of it together with the Shnei Kvasim. Shouldn't it have to be bred at that point? So of course Tosfos says maybe not. Maybe it doesn't have to be Rory about it. Second of all, what it means is also Tosfos says that fine, at least at the time of Shvita, it has to be inside the Azara. Granted that at least when it comes to a Torah, the bread can be anywhere in Yerushalayim, but it does have to be, at least maybe at the time of Shchita, it has to be actually be inside Yerushalayim. Fine. So the Gemara says, my Kodesh Ve'ene Kodesh. When Rebbe says that the bread at this point, when the Shchita was done the Shema, and the Zrika was done Shalom the Shema, the bread is holy but not holy, what does he mean by that? Abaya Omer Kodesh Ve'ene Gomer. Abaya says it means it has Kedusha, but it's not a full Kedusha. What does he mean by that? We'll see in a second. Rava Omer Kodesh Ve'ene Niter. Rava says it means it's Kodesh, but it doesn't become mutter for the Koyanim to eat. So the Gemara says, my Dinayu, what's the practical difference between them? And the answer is, Ikebenai Lamitpas Kidyoinoi. Suppose that now you want to be poyder this bread. You want to pay hekdesh, value of the bread, and the bread should become holin. Will that work? La'abaya loy tofus. Now, the vote is going to be, according to Abaya, Abaya is saying, a kodesh for any gomer. It's not a full kedusha. Well, if it's not a full kedusha, then that means, loy tofus kidyone. That means that it's not strong enough for the kedusha of it to be transferred to the money. So on the one hand, it doesn't yet have kedusha and gulf, but, it doesn't yet have kedusha and guf, but it's also the kedusha that is not going to be able to be transferred onto the money. So in other words, what's going to happen is the pidyon is just going to become like a trumas alishka. It's just going to become like kod shebedik abay. Well, it's going to become like the rest of the matzah shekel, which you can use to buy any of the korbanos tzibur. So the bread won't become completely chulin. And the money itself, instead of being reserved for Shtei Alechem, can be used equally well for any other korbanos tzibur. But on the other hand, a buyer will still say the fact is you haven't been poured of this bread completely because it didn't have a strong enough kedusha to be completely transferred onto the money, and therefore it will be also to eat. This is all according to the first Lashon in Rashi. We'll talk soon that according to Rashi there's a different gyusa and a different explanation. But first, according to a buyer, then that's how it is. The Rava, Tokas Pidyone, where's a point of Rava? It was completely kodesh. All we're saying is the kohenim can't eat it. Well, that means therefore that it does have enough kedusha that now we're actually able to be poided and it will fully become cholin, and the money itself will be reserved for will be reserved specifically to buy other shtei alechem. Rashi points out that we just said that you can't be poided menachos, but that would be after kod shuba kli, after they were placed in a kli shoris, and here we didn't have that yet. Therefore, you can still be poided, and according to Rava, that pidyon will be 100% effective, and these former shtei alechem will now become completely chulin, and the value of them is going to be used for another shtei alechem. So the Gemara says, "Bishlema l'Rava." Well, then let's understand. Then we can understand easily, according to Rava, "Hainu de'ika ben Rebbe l'Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon." And we understand the practical difference between what Rebbe and Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon hold. According to Rebbe, what we're saying is that. According to Rava, what we're saying is that Rebbe holds that it's kodesh, ain't it kodesh? Rava is understanding that it means just that you can't eat it, but it has full kedusha and you're able to be poyder. Whereas Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon holds that Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon had said that Rav Elazar b'Rav Shimon had said it's not kodesh in the first place, and that would mean, in other words, that you can't be poyder. But you have to ask, according to Abaya, what is the actual difference between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar ben Reb Shimon? Where he holds that even Rebbe holds he can't be poyda, that you can't be poyda these shteilachim. So what's the actual difference? And the answer is Ikabin Alif still to be Yotze. The argument between them would be as far as at this point, after the shchita, and when the zrika was done improperly, would this bread become possible if it's taken out of the azara? If it has kedushas and guf, then you can't take it out of the azara. So Rebbe, who holds that it's a little bit kaddish already by virtue of the shchita, then therefore now if it goes out of the azara, then it becomes possible. And the fact is, Rashi says, even if you had done the zrika, even if you do afterwards the zrika l'shmoi, after this bread was taken out of the azara, it'll still be possible. It'll still be also to eat. According to Rebbe Elazar, you have to wait until the zrika is done. Well, then until the zrika is done, then it doesn't matter if it's taken outside the azara. So that's all Rashi's first explanation of what the Gemara says to you. Now then Rashi says, after having brought this whole explanation, he says, "V'shibush gamur who's there." This whole explanation is a big mistake. Because, you know, what Rashi has, if a pointed rava, it has full kedushas and guf, then for sure, once the shlita was done, then for sure, it can't become chulin anymore. So it wouldn't work. This whole explanation that we're saying, the point of Rava, it has full Kedushas Guf, and therefore we're saying you can be poyder, that's backwards, says Rashi. On the contrary, the fact that it has full Kedushas Guf is a reason you can't be poyder. So rather, Rashi says there should be a different Girsa. The Girsa would be the other way around. La Baya Tophis Pidyone, but rather Loy Tophis Pidyone. On the contrary, the point of Baya, what we're saying is, in this scenario where you did the shita of the shnei kvasim l'shma and you did the zrika shaloi l'shma, Rav Abaya will say that you are able to be poyder and the pidyon is fully effective because if point Abaya doesn't fully have kedushas aguf yet, well therefore you can be poyder. Yes, the shita already accomplished a partial kedusha. Now at that point it won't become completely chulin when you're poyder, but nevertheless, it still doesn't have its full kedusha, and therefore you're able to be poured there, and that money will instead assume the kedusha of it. According to Rava, that has kedushas and guf, you can't be poured there. So now, if you try to be poured there, it won't work, and therefore, the pidyon won't work. So then the Gemara will go on to say, Shleim le Rava. Well, then I understand, according to Rava, that who says that according to Rebbe, you can't be poured there. Hainu di ikav, and Rebbe le Rava Lazar, well, then that explains what the actual argument is. According to Rebbe Lazar, at Rebbe Shimon, it doesn't have any Yushas and Guf at all, only Yushas Damim, and you could fully be poured there. And according to Rebbe, you can't. Elo Abaya, but according to Abaya, you're telling me that even according to Rebbe, you're able to be poyder, and according to Rebbe Elazar, for sure you could be poyder. Well, then what's the difference? And the answer would be ikkavin alif, so the yotze. Then the nafkamina would be as far as will it become possible when it's taken out of the azara. Where again, according to Rebbe, if it's taken out of the azara, then you can't at that point say, well, okay, the original kavosim apostle, because an apostle or whatever, they don't work as the korban for shavuos because we did the zrika shalom l'shma. Let's start off with new kavosim and we'll take these same two shteilachim and wave them with it and continue. You can't do that because according to Rebbe, it will have become possible by being taken out of the azara. According to Rebbe Elazar, since the zrika had not yet been done yet, it doesn't have to just that both. Then therefore you could take it out of the Azara, and then you no problem. You bring it back in and shech two new kvasim and continue from there. So according to Rebbe's according to Rashi's second and preferred explanation, that is how we understand what the Gemara is saying. So it requires a change of gusa in the Gemara. Instead of we had in front of us according to Abaya, it's not Tophis, it's Pidyon, and according to Rava it is. So now Rashi flips that around and then he says that's a much more satisfactory answer, and he says that the first explanation is a shibush gamur, is a complete mistake. This last explanation is the correct one. Tophis discusses this a little bit and works on it as far as how this fits with certain other Gemaras, but then eventually Tophis says that actually Rashi's Girsa is correct after all. And we can understand those Gemaras accordingly. Okay. So that's how we understand the machlokas of Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar of Rebbe Shimon. Usually when we have a machlokas between Rebbe, halacha to Rebbe mechavei roi, halacha, usually the halacha is like Rebbe against Rebbe Elazar of Rebbe Shimon, and so it is over here that the Rambam paskens like Rebbe, that's makadosh only by shkita, and what happens by the zrika doesn't, by what happens if the zrika has to be done in order to be able to eat the bread, following Rava's explanation, but not that until the zrika is done, the bread does not have kedushas and guf. It has kedushas and guf right after the shkita.
Okay.
So continuing on this topic. In this case, if he shechted these two sheep on Shavuos, Lishman, and the Vizorak Domin Shalom Lishman, and he sprinkled the blood Shalom Lishman, would you be able to eat this bread? In other words, the kvasim themselves are certainly mutter to eat, even though the blood was sprinkled shalei l'shma. Because after all, we learned from Mizrachim that even if most karbanis, if any of the avoidus were done shalei l'shma, the karban is still perfectly kosher, and those who need to eat it can still eat it, except that the owner wasn't yotzeh. There's no question the kvasim themselves will be mutter to eat. The question is, are the shtei alachem also going to be mutter, or no, because they're not part of the karban itself? Maybe we would say like this. It is true, of course, that you're going to have to get other prasim and other shtei lechem and start all over again. Because after all, we learned yesterday, if the kvasim are gone, then so is the lechem. So there's no question you're going to have to bring new shtei lechem and new kvasim. The question still will be, maybe can the Tainim eat these that went with the ones with the Chalasim that were puzzled, and then we'll start over again with new ones, or are these two themselves also to eat? So the Gemara asked, I'll leave it to man. Well, according to who is Reb Shmuel Bar Yitzchak asking the question? If he's asking according to Reb Elazar Reb Shimon's opinion, could you eat them? Well, what's the problem? Of course the answer is, you could. Hama Zriko Hu Demakadja. Oh no, you can't eat it. He says that the zrika is what makes it holy, and here it didn't yet reach that stage because the zrika was done shalom l'shman. Of course, you can't eat it. And if the question was a point of Rebbe, Bein Abaya Bein Rava, Kodesh Vein and Nitter, the Kodesh Vein and Nitter. Both Abaya and Rava are explaining to Rebbe that the bread is holy and it just doesn't become mutter to eat. We had, to what extent of Kedusha did it get? Does it have full Kedusha Zagruf? Does it have only partial Kedusha Zagruf, etc.? That was all discussion. Abaya and Rava just now, but they definitely both agree that you can't eat it. So where is the room for Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's question? So the answer is Ela Libida Hai Tana. Okay, but Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak found another Tana that says something relevant, and he's asking according to that opinion. The Tani Avur Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'Abba, because Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'Abba's father taught a Braisa. Now Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'Abba's father would mean Rabbi Abba, but sometimes Rashi explains that sometimes the Gemara will do that. The Gemara will say the father of a certain Amoro who's identified by his father's name. The point is, Rashi will explain elsewhere that it means the son was more famous than the father, and therefore we talk about Rabbi Abba, the father of the well known Rabbi Yirmiyahu Ba'Abba. Another possibility is just in order to disambiguate. Abba is probably the most common first name in Shas. So you have many Rav Abbas, so therefore we want to clarify which Rav Abba it is. Anyway, so Rav Yirmiyahu Abba's father taught a braisa. Shtei alachem shiyotzu, when the shtei alachem were taken out of the Azara, Dein shchita l'zrika, between the shchita and the zrika of the shnei klasim, v'zorach domen shok rosim chutz v'zmanon, then what he did was he sprinkled the blood of the shnei kvasim, having in mind the thought of chutzas manon, which makes them pickle. So what happens? Is the bread also usher as pickle or not? Rabbi Eliezer Omer in v'lechem mishum pickle. Rabbi Akiva Omer yesh v'lechem mishum pickle. Rabbi Eliezer says that the bread will not be subject to pickle, and Rabbi Akiva says it is. So now we're going to explain how that maps to the machlokas of Rav Elazar Reb Shimon and Rebbe that we said before. And once we do that, then we understand that there's going to be then we understand that there's room to ask whether maybe in the case of Lashma of Shchita Lashma and Zrucha Shalor Lashma, is there room to say that maybe the bread should be able to be eaten? Because for Omer Rapshashis, because Rapshashis explained, Hani Tanoi, Kerebis, the two Tanoim that we're talking about over here, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, they both agree with Rebbe's opinion that the Omer Shchita Makatcha, where we just said that Rebbe holds that it's the Shchita that gives the Shtei Lechem their Kedusha and not the Zrika like Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon has said. So as soon as the shchita is done, then they become kaddish. So now, why is it Rabbi Eliezer now says that nevertheless, since the bread that the bread won't be subject to tigul since it was outside the azara, because umihu Rabbi Eliezer v'taymeh, because Rabbi Eliezer is following his own svara, the omer ein zrika me'elas l'yotzei. He says when the blood of the korban is sprinkled, is not effective on behalf of anything that was outside the azara at the time. So, as we learned in Zvachim as well, that tigel, in order for something to be tigel, it has to be that there was only a psul of tigel and nothing else. Also that tigel only applies to things that are in their proper place at the time. Well, here it's not, because here the shnei lechem are outside of the azara at the time. Therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, that therefore the bread is not able to become pickled. Rabbi Akiva is going according to his svara. He says that zrika is still effective on behalf of something that was taken out. Say, for example, you took out meat or you took out something else of the carbon before the zrika. Nevertheless, Rabbi Akiva holds that the zrika is effective. It doesn't make it mutter to eat, but it helps it. It makes it effective. The original context of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva Machloekas is as far as Ne'ilah. The rule is kodshim are subject to Ne'ilah from when you first are Makadish them, or from when you first Makadish them until the Emurim are offered on the Mizbeach. At that point, then, the Emurim are offered on the Mizbeach, the rest of the meat becomes mutter for the Kohenim to eat, so therefore Ne'ilah no longer applies. Now, when you have meat of the Korban that was outside the Azara at the time, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Zrika is not effective to make that meat will no longer be subject to Ne'ilah, because the fact is that meat is also to eat. Whereas according to Rabbi Akiva, granted the meat is also to eat, but nevertheless the zrika helped it so it's not subject to me'ila anymore. Well, the same thing over here as far as the shei lechem, that it will be effective to make that they're able to be pickled. What about this business of that there has to be no other psul involved? Rashi points out this is a psul machmas dover acher. Rashi refers back to earlier in our Masechta at the end of the first parak that this is a side psul. This is not a psul in the korban itself. It's something else that in effect you take it out into your shalayim and the airspace of your shalayim makes it possible, and therefore that doesn't block it from being pigul according to Rabbi Akiva. The Tanan, and we know there's such a machlokas. The Tanan, as we learn in a Mishnah in Me'ilah, we'll learn it next year, Be'ez Hashem. Emurei kodshim kalim shiyotzu lifnei zrikas damim. If the emurim of kodshim kalim were taken out before the zrika was done, now with kodshim kalim, the rule is Me'ilah does not apply to them when they're still alive, and not even after they're shechted. The only thing of them that Me'ilah applies to is the emurim, because those are meant to be burnt on the mizbeach. So now, if the emurim of kodshim kalim were taken out of the azara before the zrika was done, Rabbi Eliezer ein moilin v'hen. Rabbi Eliezer says Me'ilah will no longer apply. Me'ilah will no longer apply to them because they're the other way around. At what point did the emurim with kodshim kalim? At what point did the emurim become subject to Me'ilah? Only when you sprinkle the blood. Up until that point, they're not ready to be offered on the mizbeach yet. Well, Rabbi Eliezer says in that case, then the fact that the zrika was done. The fact that when the zrika was done, the emurim were outside the azara means the zrika therefore does not change their status. Therefore, it still remains like they were before. They're not subject to me'ilah, and so me'ilah won't apply to them. Says Rabbi Eliezer, the ein chayavan aleihem mishum pigul noisa v'tomei. Nor will any of the dinim of pigul noisa and tomei apply to those because all of those kick in only when the zrika is done. And in this case, when the zrika was done, they were outside. In this case, when the zrika was done, they were outside the azara, and the zrika is not effective on their behalf. Um, so, uh, Tosfos points out that we know this because in the case of Piggle, it has to be that Piggle is similar to when it becomes kosher, and therefore it means only when the Makirin are brought properly, and in this case the Makir, which is the blood, was not brought properly because the Emurim are outside. And as far as Tomei, also we learn by various drushes that the same thing would apply as far as Tomei and as far as Noser. So therefore, that's Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. Rebbe Akiva, on the other hand, Rebbe Akiva says, no, Moilin Behen, Me'ila will apply to them, even though they were outside the Azorah. Nevertheless, Rebbe Akiva holds that the Zrika is effective on their behalf to change their status. Now, therefore, they become a Murim that are subject to Me'ila. And a person will be chayav for eating them if they're Pigol, or if they're Noiser, or if he is Tomei. Now that we understand that machlokas, then we can ask. Now we can go back to the Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's question: My, what would be the din? Midizrikas pigul kovel alechem pigul b'yotze. Given that we're saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, the zrika that was done with a thought of pigul, nevertheless, so we're saying according to Rabbi Akiva, it establishes nevertheless that the bread is even though it's outside the Azara, becomes pigul, kibbosser, which would be just like the flesh, which is, it's still inside the Azara. Then in that case, well then, how about in a case where it's not pigul, in a case where it was just shaloi l'shma, So in other words, what we're saying is, according to Rabbi Akiva, now that we analyzed it, it comes out that the Sheh Lechem are exactly like the body of the Kvasim themselves. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva can say that just like the meat of the Kvasim, which remain in the Azara, when they do the Zrita with the thought of Pigul, then it definitely becomes Pigul. And Rabbi Akiva holds that even the bread will become Pigul. And even though the bread is not part of the Korban and it's outside the Azara, well then, in that case, in our case, in Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yitzchak's case, where you did the zrika shalom d'shma, nami shari lo lechem, nami shari lo lechem. Maybe it should also make that the bread is mutter to eat, because after all, a zrika shalom d'shma, the korban itself is still kosher. Well, if the korban itself is still kosher, well then in that case the bread ought to be kosher as well. So in other words, when we said on Amud Aleph that according to Rebbe Chodesh v'Eini Chodesh, that would be according to Rebbe Eliezer's opinion. But now we're saying Rebbe Akiva's opinion within Rebbe's would maybe say that you are allowed to eat them. Maybe in fact this zrika shalom d'shma was good enough to actually make the same way as the korban itself can be eaten, the same way the shteya lechem can be eaten. Or maybe we only say this kind of thing lechumra, that for example, that if the korban becomes pigul, then the bread becomes pigul as well. But not necessarily the cooler to say that we should actually be able to, that we should be able to eat the, to eat the bread. Now, to be sure, Shitim Rovetzis points out that, we say that Rabbi Akiva holds his opinion even when it comes to Me'ilah. He's saying that Me'ilah, that when it comes to Kodesh Kodeshim, the sprinkling of the blood when the meat is outside will still take away Me'ilah from it. So we see that we do it L'kula as well. But nevertheless, we have a new, different reason to say that that shouldn't apply over here, because after all, maybe we would say that's there where we're talking about the meat of the korban, which is itself definitely part of the korban, and therefore we can say that the zrika, even though it was an improper zrika, and even though the meat was outside the azara, nevertheless it's effective for it. But here, where you're talking about the bread is after all not part of the korban, maybe we're not going to say that we consider it part of the korban l'kula. Maybe we do that only l'chumra. So there is his question. However, the Gemara says maski for a papa. However, a papa says I'm questioning the premise of the question in the first place. Who says that Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer are arguing about the case where the bread or the meat is still outside the Azara before the at the time of the Zrika. Or even maybe that it was brought in before the zrika, because again, if it came possible by being taken out. Maybe if the bread is still located outside the azara at the time of the zrika, the kula amalei pligi de'ein zrika me'elos v'yotze. Maybe both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva would agree that the zrika is not effective on behalf of the bread because it was taken out. Because it's one thing, the emurim, which are part of the korban itself, fine, that's part of the korban itself. So then Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer can be arguing whether the zrika is effective on their behalf to change their status as far as me'ila. But the bread is, after all, not part of the korban itself. And who says that either of them would hold that when the zrika was done and the bread was outside, that it should that it should or shouldn't be effective? So ubahodra I linu please. Maybe the argument is only maybe the kulamal atzugid the end zrika ma'elas yotze. They would both agree zrika is not effective on behalf of bread that was taken out, so it won't be mutter to eat, but it won't become pigle either if he had a thought of pigle. But ubahodra I linu please. Maybe the machlokas is only when he brought them back in before the zrika. Which Tosfos says that would refer to the bread. When it comes to the emurim, the Gemara makes it clear in Zvachim that the emurim, they're arguing whether they're brought back inside or not. But again, maybe with the bread, they're only arguing when it was brought back inside. Well, then it would be that Rabbi Eliezer holds like Rebbe, who says the shkita is makadish the bread, the ipsilu who beyotze, and the bread meanwhile had already was possible because at the time of the shkita, it was outside the azara. And therefore, it can't become pigle, because in order to become pigle, it has to be that there's no other psul. Meanwhile, Rabbi Akiva would hold like Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. The shkita itself does not give them the full kedusha. When do they become kedusha? When do they become fully kedusha according to him? Only by the zrika. And therefore, now when the zrika is done, then at that point, it's considered part of a matzah kumitzvah. What's needed to make the korban mutter has been offered properly. Where then pigle kicks in, and then therefore at that point it affects the lechem as well. So if we understand it that way, then so it is a perfectly good zrika. There's no other psul, and therefore since it's pigle and it becomes pigle, a parallel Rashi explains would be if there was no psul and you did a proper zrika as lishman, then the bread would be mutter. But when the zrika was done shaloi lishman, which was Reb Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzchak's question, then not necessarily even according to Rabbi Akiva would there be any room to say that bread is mutter. So if you look at it that way, Reb Papa says, then it comes out that there is after all no Tana who holds that the bread could possibly be mutter. So what's your Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak's question? Rabbi Akiva would say his din only when it comes to a zrika that was done a proper zrika in the sense that now it makes the korban pigle, but not necessarily a zrika shaloi lishma where the korban itself is still parter and you're just not yotz. That we should say that it should have such an effect to be able to actually make the bread mutter, not necessarily. But the Gemara says that. What kind of a question is that? No. If you say so, in other words, again, the part of the premise of Rav Papa's question is that not necessarily are Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva arguing within Rebbe's opinion. Maybe this Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, and his opinion has nothing to do with Rebbe's. But no, the Gemara says, "Yeah, I'm Rishlaim Rabbi Akiva to Rebbe Svirale." If you tell me that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rebbe, the Amar Shchita Makadshavahu, and he says the Shchita is Makadish Lebuer, and you're the Amar Rabbi Akiva to Kadshavahu the Shchita. So now Rabbi Akiva will say like this: the Shchita makes them Kadosh. Now they have the full Kadosh of Gilus. The Asya Zrika of Kavala of a Pigle, and then along comes the Zrika where he did the Zrika thinking Chusvas Manai, and therefore makes it Pigle. So that would work. So it would work like that. Eli Amit Kira Belozer of Shimon Svidalei. But if you think that Rebbe holds like Rebbe Belozer of Shimon, and the Shchita doesn't do anything to the Shei Alechem yet, you need the Zrika in order to do it. Dama Zricha Le Mekadsha, that he says that the Shchita is not yet Mekadsha them. Well, then you have to ask, according to him, Zrika Spigul Mi Mekadsha. How would the sprinkling of the blood, that even if it's done with a thought of pigle, how would it make them Kaddish to the extent that it would make them Kaddish and therefore pigle? Well, Amr of Gidol, Amr Rab, didn't Rav Gidol tell us in the name of Rab, Zrika Spigul, Ein Mevila De Ne'ila, when you do the Zrika with a thought of pigle, it doesn't bring about Ne'ila, Ein Mevila De Ne'ila, and it doesn't take away Ne'ila. Namely, in other words, again, we said before, Kodshim are subject to Ne'ila from the beginning until after the Emurim are offered. At that point, the meat of them is mutter to the Koyanim, and therefore there's no Ne'ila. Kodshim Kalam is the other way around. They're not subject to Ne'ila until the blood is sprinkled. Only then do the Emurim become subject to the Me'ilah and nothing else. And Rav Gidl tells us that if the Zrika was done with a thought of people, it can't bring about Me'ilah. It won't make the Emurim of Kodesh and Chalim subject to Me'ilah. And it won't take away the restrictions of Me'ilah that apply to Kodesh and Kodesh. Exactly that. When we say it doesn't bring about Me'ilah when it comes to the Emurim of Kodesh and Chalim, where they weren't yet subject to Me'ilah until the blood is sprinkled. So now, when the blood was sprinkled with the thought of pigle, with the thought of futzmano, then they're not going to become they're not going to become kodshei Hashem, and therefore they're not going to be subject to Me'ilah. The enim etzia midei Me'ilah, and when he says that it doesn't take away Me'ilah, but south kodshei kodshim refers to the meat of kodshei kodshim, where up until this point they would have been subject to Me'ilah, and once a proper zrika is done. Then at that point, it becomes mutter for the kohenim to eat. But here we're saying that when the zrika was done with a thought of pigle, then on the contrary, it doesn't do that, and it doesn't take away the me'ilah. Rabbi Akiva holds that in the previous machlokas holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon and says that only the zrika makes a rachem upon him kodesh. Well then, in this case, if it was a zrika of pigle, it wouldn't based on Rabbi Gidl's rule. So that slugs up Rapapa's question. Rapapa's question presumed that it's possible to say that Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, but now it comes out that not. If he holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, there'd be then based on Rabbi Gidl's rule, there'd be no room for pigle to even talk about pigle. I mean, well, the Gemara answers that. Lavi Tosef did Rabbi Gidl of Rav. Okay, but the fact is, don't you know that Rabbi Gidl's statement in the name of Rav has been slugged up in the Gemara and Ne'ilah? This rule of his that a zrika pigle is not able to create Me'ilah or take away Me'ilah, the Gemara slugged it up over there. Well, then in that case, never mind that. Then we're back to, we still have a valid question of Rav Papa about what was Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak asking in the first place, what made him presume that necessarily Rav Akiva and Rav Eliezer's machlokas is necessarily within Rebbe's opinion, and therefore we can ask, even if the zrika was done shaloi l'shma, are we able to eat the shtei lechem? Maybe not. Maybe as Rav Papa is saying, Rav Akiva just holds like Rav Elazar ben Shimon, and there's nothing of his opinion that has anything to do with Rebbe's opinion, and therefore there would be no opinion therefore that says that when the sprinkling was done shaloi l'shma, that there should be any room to say that you should be able to eat the shtei lechem. So it comes out, in other words, according to that way of looking at it, that yes, we still have a Papa's question, it's still a strong one, and then what was Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak thinking to ask his question in the first place? On the other hand, Tosfos says that no. What the Gemara is saying is that on the contrary, that Lavi Tosfos Rav Gidl is saying, the Gemara is saying, we asked a question on, so that, in other words, that once we, Tosfos points out that Gemara in Me'ilah is saying that the Papa himself is the one who brought up this question to shlug up Rav Gidl. On the other hand, Tosfos brings that there is a girsa, the loyi Tosfos Rav Gidl, that Rav Gidl was not shlugged up. Tosfos says that's not what it means. It is in fact a question. The lavi Tosfos did Rav Gidl. Wasn't Rav Gidl's statement shlugged up, and therefore that means, in other words, we're left with a very strong question of Rav Papa's on Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yitzchak's statement. What was he thinking to even ask the question? There doesn't seem to be any opinion of any Tana who holds that you should be able to eat the shtei lechem in a case like this. So, in this connection, the Rambam brings that when there was a so it comes out from this whole discussion that if there was a thought of pigle with the shnei klossim, then we're saying that the shnei klossim themselves become pigle, and so does the shtei lechem as well. The Rambam actually writes that when there was chutzas manai during the zrika, then he says the suffolk whether you can eat the klossim.
And he doesn't mention the point of whether, of the Zrika being done for Loi Lishma as well. And then those Kalim have a considerable discussion about what the Rambam is saying about this. Do we have to change the Gusa? Do we have to change the Gusa in the Rambam? Or do we have a different explanation? And the Rambam, in this connection, the Kesef Mishnah brings an explanation from the Rambam's descendants, Hanogid Rabbeinu Yeshua, that says that the Rambam's suffix is whether now when the Shtei Alechem are when we have the situation of Pigul and Posel and all that, do the Shnei Kvasim now in effect become completely like Chulin and therefore you can eat it, or are they Pigul because, in other words, the question is, do we consider the Shtei Alechem are not even present and therefore the Shnei Kvasim are not really fulfilling their purpose and therefore they're just Shechted and in effect they become Chulin, or do we say that nevertheless they're still able to become Pigul and a person would be also to eat them. So he explains it that way, and then Mephoshim deal with that in some detail. Like Mara says, here's another question. Suppose that the kvasim were shechted lishman, and now, as we learned before, now the kvasim and the lechem are tied to one another, and if one of them is lost, then the other one is gone as well. But now, now the bread is in fact lost, and we're saying that at this point the kvasim are going to be fossil. Mao should use the domen shalor lishman, lahatir bosav achilim. Can we now maybe salvage that at least we should be able to eat the meat of these kvasim, namely, we will deliberately sprinkle the blood of these kvasim below the shman, and that way the meat of them will be mutter to eat. Because what are we accomplishing by that? In other words, only the shnei kvasim need the shtei alechem with them. If they're brought as any other korban, they don't need shtei alechem. Well, then in that case, since now the shtei alechem are gone, then instead of having to burn these kvasim, can we maybe, and they were already shechted at this point, can we maybe now go turn them into a different korban in effect by doing the zrika below the shman? And then that way we'll be able to, and that way we'll still be able to eat them as though they were regular shlomim. Now, Tosfos points out that there's no room for this question when we learned yesterday that there was a Reb Yumia had said that Reb Yumia had brought a whole question that if the Gemara had brought up the question whether the shnufa, whether the fact that the shkvasim are waved with the shtei alechem, whether that makes the zika between them, and Reb Yumia had pointed out, then we have to ask, in that case, if the bread is lost or the kvasim lost, well then in that case, then according to that, there'd be no room for this question. So the question would really be, if we say that's not so, that tnufa doesn't, create that connection, only the shechita does. And you certainly can't say that we should be allowed to shech the korban deliberately shelo lishma. So that's the question. So basically the question is, in other words, now that we have a problem over here, are we deliberately allowed to change the designation of this korban to do the zrika shelo lishma in order to salvage the situation? So Reb Zeira answers, yes, the kosher shalai. Have you ever seen a case where something is not kosher if you do the shmoy and it will become kosher if you do the shalai the shmoy? No. In this case, you do the zrika shalai the shmoy, it's not going to help, and you're still going, and the meat is still going to be also tickled. So Yumiya says, why? The loy? Why? I can give you a case where it's kosher, if it's shaloi l'shmoi, where it's kosher, where it's possible if it's l'shmoi, but becomes kosher if you do it shaloi l'shmoi. Vare Pesach kodim chatzos. What about if you bring a Pesach, a kodim Pesach, before chatzos on Erev Pesach? Ye'ena kosher l'shmoi. Now, if you bring it at that point, on Erev Pesach in the morning, if you bring it l'shmoi, then it will be possible, because it's too early to bring it. It has to be brought Erev Pesach afternoon. The kosher shaloi l'shmoi. And if you brought it at that time, shaloi l'shmoi, as a shlomim, it would be perfectly kosher. So you see that, yes, you can have something which, you can have a case where something with shmoy is kosher, and if you do the same thing, shaloi l'shmoy, it will be possible. Or if you do it l'shmoy, it will be possible, but if you do it shaloi l'shmoy, it will be kosher. So Reb Zeira says, fine, but what I'm saying is like this. Yesh l'cha dovash anudah l'shmoy. Do you ever have a case where something is, where, And by the way, Tosfos points out in this connection that Gemara could have just easily answered that, look, you know, by default, the Pesach, any other time during the year becomes a Shlomim. Anyway, so, okay, so Zera corrects himself. What I mean is like this. If you ever have anything which is suitable to be brought l'shmoy, and then it was pushed off from that, as we have so far in this case with these two kvasim, where they were meant to be brought l'shmoy together with the shteil lechem, now the shteil lechem is lost, and now they were pushed off, and they can no longer be brought l'shmoy. There ain't a kosher l'shmoy, and now at this point, if you brought them l'shmoy, they would be pasul. The kosher shaloi l'shmoy, and now at this point, if you do it shaloi l'shmoy, it will be kosher. The Korban Pesach is different. Before Chatzos, it was never yet nearer. You, I'm telling you, says your Gzeira, you don't have a case where it was already nearer, where it was already suitable to be brought as a Korban, and then pushed off, and now you want to make it kosher again by doing Shalom Shema. It doesn't work. So Rav Yumia says, why not? The Loi, I'll give you a related example. Rabbi Pesach Achaz Manu. Suppose the Korban Pesach after the time, you didn't end up bringing it on Erev Pesach. Mishal Yemos Hashana, and you're bringing it any time during the rest of the year, Kodim Chatzos, before Chatzos, which doesn't really belong over here, because the rest of the year doesn't matter before Chatzos or not, which is why it's in parentheses, the Shittim Kubetzis and the Birkas HaZevach instead have a different Gersa in the Gemara over here, Vare Pesach Acha Chatzos. What about the Kodim Pesach after Chatzos? Anyway, the point is, any other time during the year, a Pesach becomes a Shlomim. So you have, it was meant to be brought l'shmoy on Erev Pesach, but now it was pushed off, it can no longer be brought as a Korban Pesach, it's too late, and it will be possible if you do it l'shmoy, because if you sheft it as a Korban Pesach, any other time during the year it's going to be possible, and if you sheft it as a shlomim, then it's kosher.
Okay.
So you could say the same thing over here with these kivsat saras, that, yes, they were meant to be brought as kivsat saras, but now there's a problem because the shteil lechem are lost. Maybe now we should be able to, if we continued with them l'shmoy, then yes, they'd be posel because we have no shteil lechem. But now maybe we should be able to make them kosher by doing shloi l'shmoy and making them kosher again as a different korban and being able to eat them. Fine. So Rav Zera says, okay, let's put it this way. Hachi kamina. Fine. What I mean to say is like this. Yes, chadavash nir l'shmoy, v'nishchat l'shmoy. How about, you have a case where something was meant to be brought l'shmoy, the nishchat l'shmoy, and it was even shechted l'shmoy, the nidcha l'shmoy, and after the shchitah it became possible to continue l'shmoy, the ene kosher l'shmoy, and now if you continue it l'shmoy, it'll be possible the kosher shaloi l'shmoy, and if you continue shaloi l'shmoy, it'll be kosher, as in this scenario over here, the Pesach that you're asking about, that's different. It wasn't at all shechted on Erev Pesach in the end, so fine, during the rest of the year, it becomes a shlomim. But here we were talking about after the shchita, how do you have, where do you ever find such an analogy that you should be able to say that if you shecht it, shalom v'shmoy, it will be kosher after all.
Yeah.
Rabbi Yirmiyah says, v'loi, well, why not? Vare korban toida. Consider a korban toida. If the bread of it becomes posel after the shchita, we learned on Daf Nunvav, that if after you shechted it, the bread was broken, then we said you sprinkle the blood, having in mind that it's a shlomim, and you can eat the meat, but you're not yotze, you're neder. So therefore, see, so exactly that. You do the zirka shaloi l'shmoy, and it's kosher. So you should do that. So you see that you do have this example where a korban was already shechted, and nevertheless you should still do something different afterwards in order to make the korban kosher. The answer is, Rav Zera says that's not a proof. Shiny toida de rachmana kariya shlomim. The difference is, as we learned yesterday, a toida itself is called shlomim. So when you redesignate it as a shlomim, you're not really redesignating it. It's still, you're just saying, instead of a specific type of shlomim or toida, instead it's a more general kind of shlomim, But you don't have, and there's nothing like this where we're talking about where you want to take the shalmei tzibur and turn them into a whole different, kind of korban, so that you should be able to eat it. Then you shouldn't be doing that. You should still, once the bread is lost, then that's it. You're not going to do that. You're not going to do anything further. You're not going to go and change the designation of it in the zrika in order to make it kosher. You're not going to do that. You're just going to leave it. It was done shalom. It was done. that the bread was lost, and therefore the bread was lost, and therefore there's nothing at this point you can do. You're just gonna have to start over with new kvasim and new lechem. And again, the Rambam says if the bread was lost and now you did a sort of pigle, then it's a suffet whether they're mutter to eat or not. And that's where you have all the notes of Kalim discussing why the Rambam says that it's a suffet in a case like that. So we'll